What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield.
And guys, this we talked about it before we started recording. This was a weird, weird fantasy week, I think, in a lot of respects.
The NFL is weird in general, but this week in particular was, I don't know, rather frustrating, I'd put it.
Are you saying that the NFL is unpredictable, Marcus?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's, well, the no-figure league was back in effect this week, and I'm sure a lot of folks are scratching their heads. You know, week one, we kind of gauge things. We think we have a basic idea. Week two, I feel like, is the week we sort of overcorrect, but I don't know, man. This a lot of weird things happened this week. A lot of injuries that could potentially be sort of league tilting also happened this week. So we'll talk about some of those. We'll go through the things in week two that we know, the things we think we know, and the things that we have no idea about and are still trying to figure out. And of course, because it is Monday, we'll also do some waiver wire picks as well. Normally, we go behind the glass and talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy Esquire, but we are in a different studio today because of scheduling issues and technical deals that are above my pay grade. We got bumped from our normal spot, so Murph's here. Know that he's wearing a pretty sweet Rocky Johnson jersey. I think things are not going so well for Big Blue, so he's trying to take his mind off of that right now. You know,
I got a couple of Cowboys jerseys at home.
I don't think he wants to wear those.
Murph, you're welcome to wear.
Don't think he's going to wear one of those
for the rest of the season.
I was actually surprised he hasn't broken out the Notre Dame jersey yet. I feel like that's probably coming sometime soon. But yeah, who knows?
You know, Marcus, you talked about how like this was like a wild week. Did you notice that for the second week in a row, a lot of the top fantasy wide receivers are just what? DeMarcus Robinson, Nelson Aguilar, John Ross again, Deebo Samuel, DJ Chark, DJ Chark. I am stuck with that damn song in my head now for the rest of the season because Gardner Minshew has a man crush on DJ Chark, and I'm going to be talking about him all season long. I could already tell.
Just telling you. Don't spend an early round pick on a wide receiver. That's, you know, you can wait on a wide receiver. That's going to be my new mantra.
I love Marcus Grant's mantra.
You can wait
as
on a wide
running back's truther. Although the running backs, I mean, some of them were not that good this weekend either.
I mean, I'm mostly kidding because you know
Christian McCaffrey,
Julio Jones went big on Sunday night. So I'm, you know,
but like in terms of the big name guys, like Julio went big. Mike Thomas had like 10 catches. After that, I mean,
yeah.
But we have to also put Chris Godwin in because he is going to end up being in that.
He's going to end up being
in that
there.
Elite category by the end of the season.
All right. So we have plenty to talk about, obviously. So in the meantime, let's do some news.
Through the news.
Well, the big one, and it is still developing as we sit here and record this podcast on Monday morning. Yesterday, Drew Brees left the game against the Rams in Los Angeles after he basically inadvertently high-fived Aaron Donald during the middle of a play. Injured his hand, left, had it wrapped. We saw Teddy Bridgewater for pretty much the rest of the game. I think Brees tried to come back in briefly. That didn't last long, and so they went back to Bridgewater. Brees stayed in L.A. after the game to get checked out by a hand specialist, and the preliminary is that he's going to miss some time. I think the early indications is that he will miss 6 weeks, which also includes the team's bye. So right now, best-case scenario, Drew Brees isn't going to be back probably until week 10. Ostensibly, Teddy Bridgewater takes over as the starter there in New Orleans, although we'll see how they work, if they work Taysom Hill back into the mix. Fabs, I know coming into the season, it was pretty fashionable for a lot of folks to sort of fade Drew Brees, and the talk that he was not going to be a top 10 quarterback was pretty rampant. We obviously didn't see this coming, but I would imagine it's very hard with quarterback being so deep to try to hold a roster spot for him for the next, you know, month and a half or so.
Yeah, unless you're in a league where you can put an injured guy on a reserve spot, and on NFL.com you can't do that unless the player is actually on injured reserve designated to return. So Drew Brees is going to be dropped in a lot of leagues, which is odd after the second week of the NFL season. But, Graham, I think you agreed with me. I wasn't big on Drew Brees this season. I didn't think that he was going to be an elite fantasy quarterback. Now we have Teddy Bridgewater in the mix. And let's look at their schedule coming up. Okay, they've got the Seahawks on the road coming up, okay? Then you've got the Cowboys in New Orleans, and the Cowboys are the real deal, folks, and that's just not me being a homer. Buccaneers, good schedule there, a good matchup there. Then Jags-Bears. So
both of those are on the road, and then they get
Teddy Bridgewater's schedule is not going to be, shall we say, very favorable. And every player on that roster, maybe not Michael Thomas because I think he's going to get peppered with targets, but every offensive player on that roster is now going to be a little bit more sketchy, even Alvin Kamara, and we saw that yesterday.
This sucks for Kamara, too, because Drew Brees and Kamara have been one of the most efficient connections in terms of like just their timing in the short and intermediate areas. This is it's a tough day. It's a tough day for Kamara and Thomas owners, I think.
Yeah, you know, this is a thing that is unforeseen. You can't predict this sort of thing, but taking Drew Brees out of this offense completely changes everything. Look, I know it was a couple of years ago we were hoping for big things from Teddy Bridgewater. Then he had that awful knee injury that took him out for over a year. But I think it's a lot to ask for Bridgewater to come back and suddenly be that guy, and certainly to replace Drew Brees. I mean, he's just that. Those are huge shoes to fill. So I think now it's a little bit sketchy about what's going to happen there in New Orleans with the Saints. Other big quarterback news, this out of Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger left the game with an elbow injury. They're still looking at that right now. The team is hoping that he can avoid surgery. The words Tommy John were thrown around, and certainly if you're a baseball fan, you know that is bad news. The update from one of the many Twitter actual doctors on Twitter. I shouldn't say Twitter doctor. That sounds demeaning.
There is a distinction, though.
Yes, there is a distinction. One of the many doctors on Twitter who offer sort of diagnoses from afar suggests that maybe it's something that he can just kind of sit out, let the injury scar over, and then come back and play in a few weeks. But Graham, regardless, Ben Roethlisberger looks like he's going to miss a few weeks. So much like we're downgrading folks in New Orleans, I have a feeling we're kind of knocking some folks down in Pittsburgh as well.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the injury timeline looks like. But if Big Ben were to miss games, it's an obvious downgrade to this entire offense, sort of like the Drew Brees situation. Mason Rudolph, I think, no offense to Teddy Bridgewater, might be in a slightly better situation. I think we've seen Rudolph acquit himself in the preseason, and the Steelers' offensive line is still fantastic. But yeah, I mean, if Big Ben misses time, this is no good for Juju. I mean, yeah. The teams that took Juju and Michael Thomas or Tyreek Hill at the 1-2 turn, and then we're looking great like a couple weeks ago, lots of sad emojis.
You know who I might take a chance on, though, because a lot of people may have dropped James Washington after week one.
Mm-hmm. He's starting to play a little bit more, too.
And Dante Moncrief can't catch a cold.
Yeah.
And there is a connection between Rudolph and James Washington. We saw it in the preseason.
We've seen it in preseason. Yeah. I mean, going back to Oklahoma State. Obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Washington just offers so much more, not only just like as a pass catcher, but he's just a route runner, as a lid lifter in this offense.
Man, I will tell you, I'm one of those people who did grab Juju in a lot of leagues, late first, early second round. Even before the Roethlisberger injury, I mean, I was starting to get concerned. Last week it was, you could kind of blow it off as saying, well, hey, it's the Patriots or whatever. This week you thought maybe it would be a little bit better against the Seahawks, but really for the first half, even into the third quarter, Juju really was nowhere to be found. It took kind of a flea flicker to sort of get him going a little bit.
The good news with both the Saints and the Steelers, in my opinion, is that they both have number one clear entrenched number one receivers, and then they have a bunch of ancillary guys, right? So if anything, we should expect Thomas and Juju to at least get peppered with targets, but it's just the efficiency and how many of those are going to be near the near the goal line and getting in for scores like we would normally expect with their quarterbacks.
Yeah. Also, James Conner dealing with an injury, so. I mean, it's kind of all bad right now in Pittsburgh. I mean, they're 0-2. Two of their top stars are injured right now. And, look, I think right now that it doesn't look like anything long-term is going to happen with James Conner. But, man, it's kind of bad right now in Pittsburgh.
I know. It's amazing how quickly things can change. I feel like I say that every week because, we were just a couple of years removed from Roethlisberger, Brown, and Bell, the big three, maybe the biggest three in fantasy football on one NFL franchise. Now, Bell's gone, Brown's gone, and Big Ben might be gone because of this injury, at least for a few games. We'll see what happens.
I mean, so any interest in Jalen Samuels. I mean,
he's
the guy who moves up, obviously.
If he's out there, then you have to go out and grab him just as a speculative ad in case James Conner is forced to – I'm sorry, James Conner is expected to miss any time.
But again, this is another one, though, where you take Ben out of this offense and maybe it changes some things. I don't know. We'll see. It hasn't particularly been great. Down in Miami –
Dude, is there a football team down there?
Man.
Is there? Would Clemson beat them?
The U's not looking too good. They've been sort of up and down. And the Dolphins, it's bad. They lose. Here's the thing. They lost by fewer points in week two than they lost by in week one.
Fair.
That's the upside.
That's
the downside,
very fair.
The downside is that they didn't score any points in week two. They at least scored points in week one.
Oh, boy.
The Patriots defense, which was ranked number one on most fantasy lists, over 30 fantasy points.
Yeah, nobody was thinking, 30, 37?
I was loving it, dude. I was loving it. I had them in like half my leagues.
Yeah, but the early word out of South Beach from head coach Brian Flores is that Ryan Fitzpatrick is still the starter. Now, he says they're going to evaluate during the week. That could change, but as we speak right now, he is still the starter. Look, Ryan Fitzpatrick threw as many Patriots touchdown passes as Tom Brady did yesterday. Both had two Patriot touchdown passes. Look, you're not starting Fitzpatrick. You're probably not starting Josh Rosen. But I think in terms of just kind of speculating and looking forward, especially if you're talking dynasty, they got to play Rosen now,
yeah.
Right? I mean, they got to see what they have with Josh Rosen.
What's the point of playing Ryan Fitzpatrick? But, I mean, in the defense of the decision to start Ryan Fitzpatrick to begin the year, right? Like, especially without Laremy Tunsil, this is not an NFL offensive line.
I feel bad for Rosen, dude, because he was in a bad situation last year, and now this might be worse.
This is absolutely worse.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gone from what we thought was the worst situation in the NFL was last year, and the Cardinals coaching staff and their talent to, significant downgrade again. Let's say he does start week three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything that he does and puts on tape, you've got to grade on a curve.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just the nature of this offense this year. So as a Josh Rosen fan coming out, it's definitely frustrating.
You know, it takes a lot for me to stand for a UCLA guy, but I like Josh Rosen and I want to see him at least get a fair shot. And through a season plus two games, he hasn't gotten a fair shot.
Guys, the Dolphins got 11 first downs yesterday. 11. Mm. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
11. They had 11 drives.
This upcoming week,
they can't move the ball at all.
Zeke is going to rush for about 250. Dak's going to throw for about 400
in the first half.
Gallup and Cooper will go over 100. Devin Smith, where the hell did that come from?
Yeah, a couple shot plays.
My goodness gracious! I mean, everybody on the Cowboys is going to be startable in fantasy, and that matchup, I think, aside from the Dolphins just being god awful. What we can take away on the Patriots side is that the presence of Antonio Brown really going to hurt Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman. And I get it. They were blowing this team out. But AB, when he was in there, I mean, they targeted him all the time. And I don't even know if AB will play another game for the Patriots, depending on what happens with this whole off-the-field situation. But if you drafted Edelman to be, a high two, you may not be getting a high two production from him if AB's on that roster the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's pretty much going to be in flux for a while. That's going to be something to keep an eye on. By the way, you mentioned Michael Gallup, too. Just a quick note. He is having an MRI on his knee. He took a helmet on the knee. The Cowboys are thinking it may not be serious, but this is kind of a precaution. So
really tough day for injuries yesterday.
Yeah.
Lots of small little minor things, and obviously the big ones with Breeze and Big Ben.
Take it from somebody who started Alshon Jeffrey in one league and DeSean Jackson in another, and watching zeros.
The Eagles, everybody got hurt. Everybody got hurt.
Yeah. So we'll also keep an eye. We'll keep an eye on what is up with these Eagles wide receivers. Apparently, this was something for both those guys that happened in the pregame, and then they didn't really play.
And Dallas Goedert got hurt in that game, too.
Goedert got hurt, too. Yeah.
I mean, look, Zach Ertz got hurt late, but he stayed in there. I mean, he took a wicked shot to the ribs near the end of that game, and he stayed in there and played.
I love Zach Ertz, but has he ever broken a tackle? Ever. Has Zach Ertz ever broken a tackle?
If he breaks one tackle yesterday,
oh my God.
Who knows what happens, right?
I love him, man, but sure, with some of the best hands we've seen in, among a tight end, but he does not break nearly enough tackles.
Oh, man. Last bit of news, this coming from Jim Irsay. He said after the Colts game yesterday that Adam Vinatieri's missed kicks are becoming, quote, a concern. Vinatieri, for his part, sort of intimated that he could be retiring sooner rather than later. Just a tweet from beat writer Stephen Holder suggested that we could hear as soon as today that Adam Vinatieri is hanging them up. Look, I know we don't spend a lot of time talking about kickers, understandably. So I guess my only question about this is, when it comes to kickers, do we put Adam Vinatieri in our fantasy ring of honor? I would think so, right?
Yeah, dude.
Absolutely.
Hell
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
sustained dominance.
Yep.
And, I mean, obviously,
with two teams.
Yeah. With, yep. Right. Multiple teams, but also just multiple great fantasy seasons. He's definitely up there.
I mean, I always think it's funny that, you know, you hear the stories about him having teammates who were like, oh, yeah, I remember watching you when I was a kid, you know? So,
well, he's, what, 45 or 47? Is he 47?
He's 47.
Wow.
I remember watching him as a kid.
Actually, I take that back. He's, yeah.
Thanks, Graham.
Yeah, I take that back. He is 46. He will be 47 in December. So he is at the moment 46.
I interviewed him a long time ago for the Italian American Sports Hall of Fame in Chicago, and just couldn't be a nicer dude. Had a tremendous career. If this is in fact the end of the line,
you know what I mean. This is just, you know, to reinforce how long Adam Vinatieri has been in the league. He tackled Herschel Walker in a game.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He chased down Herschel Walker on a kickoff and tackled him in a game.
I was gonna say didn't tackle him. I was gonna correct you. He chased him down. It's a great clip, all time great NFL clip.
Yeah, just go Google Adam Vinatieri Herschel Walker and you see Vinatieri chasing down. I mean, really one of the greatest athletes the NFL has ever seen, and making a tackle on a kickoff. So,
maybe the reason why the Cowboys had a dynasty going on. Then,
yeah, Herschel Walker. It's funny. They ended up as a dynasty, but not the way people would have expected when they first drafted Herschel Walker. So if this is indeed the end of Adam Vinatieri, best wishes in the future. We have enjoyed watching you kick field goals. Hey, it's been great. And that is pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right, so week two, pretty much in the books. We have one more game, the Jets and the Browns, which seemed a lot more interesting before the season started, and everyone either caught mono or got injured or, you know, just
week
flopped.
Two, I'm telling you, week two has been cursed.
Apparently. So, but most everything else is done now. So now that we are a couple of weeks in, I broke this down into three different categories: what we know, what we think we know, and what we don't know at all, but are still trying to figure out. So, first off, the things that we know. This one is an easy one. Patrick Mahomes is still a fantasy football god. I mean, we started the season and look, just almost universally, like. He can't throw 50 touchdowns again, right? Regression is coming. It's just not going to happen, right? And then he goes out and lights it up in week one against the Jaguars, of all things. Then he comes back in week two, and somehow the Chiefs, for the first time in, you know, for a while now, don't score in the first quarter, but they score 5 seconds into the fourth, to the second quarter, and Mahomes puts up 4 touchdowns in the quarter.
I got to be honest, though. I was disappointed. I mean, I had 3 touchdownless quarters from Patrick Mahomes.
Well, obviously, he's no good.
Oh, boo-hoo.
So, I mean, look, I mean, I know the – here's the thing. Yes, I know you can wait on a quarterback, right? There's plenty of good – but if you're going to get one early, get the best one early, right?
That was
the
dude.
Oh, my God, man. Yeah. They get the Ravens next week, but to start the year, he's thrown for over 10 yards per pass attempt in both games. And his touchdown rate is 9.1%. Last year, his NFL record touchdown rate was 8.6%.
Yeah, we were all like, hey, he can't do that.
Oh, my God, man.
Look.
What I do like is this upcoming matchup. You're getting last year's best value at quarterback against this year's
best value.
Best value at quarterback. I tweeted that out yesterday, that Lamar Jackson is this year's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
In terms of where you got him and the production that you're getting from him. Now, people back and said, well, wait a minute. He played 2 crappy defenses. You can only play who's lined up against you, dude.
And that was the point of buying all these Ravens. That's what I've been saying. Their schedule was awesome. This was a great setup to start the year. This was in the range of outcomes for Lamar to get hot really, really quick, and it happened.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, too, because, like, this past week we got the Lamar versus Kyler matchup, which was okay. Now we get the Lamar versus Mahomes matchup. So that at least, you know, as a viewer, it's fun.
I will say this. Kyler, in terms of fantasy, was not all that great. He had fewer than 17 points, and that's not going to
He didn't have any touchdowns, but he had, like, but almost 400 yards,
yes,
right?
That is big. And when you watch the game, I would like to see him run a little bit more, but it's there, dude. It's there. This guy is going to be a top 10 quarterback when all is said and done this season.
Yeah. I mean, I still want them to fix their offensive line.
Yeah.
That's going to be the problem all year. Marcus Gilbert, too. They traded for him. He was previously a stud tackle for the Steelers, and he's out for the season with an ACL injury. I mean, their offensive line is going to be a bad, bad deal all year.
We had a lot of that. Atlanta was down two O-linemen at one point last night, and then McCrary came back in. Luckily for them.
I thought he was going to be done.
I thought he was done.
The way he left. Real quick, though, about Mahomes, right? So 2 weeks in a row. First week, Sammy Watkins has the big blow-up game for him.
Yeah.
Week two, it's DeMarcus Robinson that has the big blow-up game. And then Sammy, you know, kind of did what Sammy Watkins does occasionally, which is sort of fade back into the background. Have we settled on who the receiver, the non-Travis Kelce pass catcher, is going to be in this offense?
I still think it's Watkins. He saw 13 targets yesterday. Mm-hmm. I haven't rewatched all of them to see what happened. I don't know if they were, like, uncatchable or what this game situation was. But, yeah, I mean, full-time usage, 13 targets, just kind of an unlucky
You know who
outcome.
It's going to be, Graham? Whoever's open.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Whoever's open, dude. Well, I mean, Hardman could have had two touchdowns in that game. One was called back.
He had a 70-yard touchdown
ballistic.
Called back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Robinson went ballistic. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, you know, Watkins is clearly still the guy that you want in fantasy, but it's whoever the hell is open, because Mahomes is going to find him.
Yeah. You know, the Raiders had a curious strategy of not covering people yesterday. That didn't work out well for them.
And one of the two DeMarcus Robinson touchdowns, I think it was the longer, was the 40-yard score. So they motioned McCoy out, mm-hmm. right? It's like kind of a mortar screen. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of forgot to cover DeMarcus Robinson there in the slot. The corner went with McCoy, and that was it.
Whoopsie.
Yep.
Whoopsie. Other thing that we know after a couple of weeks, Austin Ekeler is a legit RB1 now. I mean, he has fully slid in to the role that has been abandoned by Melvin Gordon. I mean, he got, I think, like 70-75% of the snaps yesterday. He's getting plenty of opportunity. They are moving him out to, you know, lining him up out wide. I mean, part of that might have to do with some injuries and a lack of depth at wide receiver, but they're moving him all around. We knew, Fabs, that he had standalone value even with Melvin Gordon, mm-hmm. but right now, after 2 weeks, he might be the biggest draft value in fantasy.
Yeah, man. I mean, highest scoring running back in fantasy football right now. He's tied for fourth among running backs in touches with 41. As you mentioned, the offensive snaps, he is on the field. He is their guy. And Justin Jackson, he actually looked pretty darn good, but he's not getting any opportunities, not nearly enough to actually have standalone value at this point. So this is Austin Eckler's backfield, and things have kind of worked out well for him, right? Because, you know, you lose a Hunter Henry, he's going to see more opportunities as a pass catcher. We all know that he is a tremendous pass catcher. We all knew going into the season that he was a playmaker. He was a guy who can give you those yards after catch, and he is showing it right now. And if we were drafting today, Austin Ekeler would be a first-round pick.
Yeah. Right.
Back-to-back games with 100 yards from scrimmage. They get the Texans in week three, but then guess what, guys? The Dolphins, week four.
Man. Gosh.
Yeah.
Maybe Melvin Gordon should come back for that game.
anyone that took Austin Ekeler in like the 6th, 7th, 8th round of their drafts, they're most likely going to be 4-0 to start the year.
You love life now.
You're most likely going to be 4-0 to start start your season. Congrats.
Congratulations, man. Other thing that I feel like we certainly know after a couple of weeks, Mark Andrews is a weekly starter at tight end.
Graham, give me a high five.
I mean,
Mark Andrews, baby.
I know we were excited about Mark, but man, two games over 100 yards, what a touchdown in each of the first two games.
Love it.
Even for those of us with high expectations, I feel like this has sort of exceeded those expectations.
Yeah, man. I it's funny. I have him in a couple of leagues, and I have Ertz in one league, so now I'm like trying to flip Andrews for something big. Because if you have – Andrews was not drafted to be a tight end one in a lot of leagues. People drafted him as like a high two, drafted him late for upside. But if you – like if you have Ertz and Andrews, or if you have Kittle and Andrews, for example, I would put both of them on the trade block and see which of the best offers comes your way, because Andrews is the real deal, man. I mean, we talked about it, Graham, in the preseason, how Lamar Jackson loves to throw to his tight ends. Andrews was his guy at the end of last season, and now we're sort of seeing the fruits of our labor because he has been just better than advertised.
So it's that trend has persisted. Last year, Lamar Jackson's like 8 starts. He targeted his tight ends at the highest rate in the NFL, and that has persisted to start this season. No quarterback has targeted their tight ends at a higher rate than Lamar Jackson. And now the Mark Andrews against the Chiefs coming up next week. The Chiefs just gave up 9 catches for nearly 100 yards to both Darren Waller and Derek Carrier. Another fantastic
spot. Right now, Andrews is tied for 4th in targets with Travis Kelce. It's good company.
Yeah. Mark Andrews isn't a full-time player, but when he's out there...
When he's out there, he's getting it done.
He is just only involved in the passing game.
Yep.
It's like a beer commercial. I don't always play, but when I do, I'm balling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so moving on to things that we think we know, but we're not totally sure about. The first one is... The Bengals passing game is good?
Zach Taylor. I mean
2 weeks.
Damn.
2 weeks, Andy Dalton goes. He goes 418 and 2 touchdowns in week 1. He goes 311 and 2 touchdowns in week 2. Now, week 3, they are on the road at Buffalo, which should be a big test.
I was going to say, let's pump the brakes until we see them in week 3 on the road against a tough defense. I actually have a lot of respect for the 49ers' revamped front 7. I actually think their front 7 is very talented. Mm-hmm. But the Seahawks secondary and the 49ers secondary are just not even close to what the Bills can offer, both talent-wise and with their scheme. So I'm excited to see what the Bengals can do.
Just a quick little note on here. So the Bengals have 2 of the top 10 most targeted wide receivers in the National Football League, and one of them's not AJ Green. When AJ Green comes back, I wonder, would you try and buy low on AJ now because we don't know when he's coming back? But when he does come back, I mean, is this what we're getting? Would you try and buy low on him right now?
So, two things. The Bengals have started fast, and maybe this is their third straight year. They've started pretty quick. We still don't know when AJ Green's going to return. I'm trying to be more hesitant on buying low on players that are we're buying basically at a perceived injury discount.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's obviously been a great start for Zach Taylor.
Yep.
Big news just released. The Steelers just released a statement saying Ben Roethlisberger will need surgery on his elbow. Oh. He is on injured reserve. He is done for the year. So, all that we just talked about, obviously Mason Rudolph takes over now as the starter. Maybe you bump James Washington up a little bit. Hopefully Juju is able to sort of keep his targets, presumably. We're still waiting to see what the prognosis is for James Conner and what that means for the backfield. But huge news out of Pittsburgh, and that not only changes the fortunes for the Steelers, but obviously for plenty of fantasy teams as well, with Ben Roethlisberger being done.
Where, if we were drafting today, where does Juju Smith-Schuster get picked without Ben Roethlisberger?
Late?
Third or fourth.
Third round.
A guy who was a second-round pick. I mean, this one hurts, man. This one really hurts. Maybe it's good for Vance McDonald, possibly. But
maybe.
This is bad for everyone in that offense. You know, I get it. Mason Rudolph has got some upside. He looked pretty good yesterday, but he's not Ben Roethlisberger. He's just not. And James Washington, maybe, again, we mentioned earlier, a speculative ad if he was dropped because he's got that rapport with Rudolph. But this is bad news. And, I mean, we still don't know what Connor's status is.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out later on Monday today.
You could be looking at Rudolph, Samuels, and then Juju as the top three weapons in that Pittsburgh offense.
Their next 3 games are the Niners, Bengals, and then the Ravens. Kind of a mixed bag of a stretch there, but yeah, still. Ugh,
yeah.
Brutal.
So there we go. So it's going to leave a lot of people kind of scrambling and trying to figure out what the next move is if you were relying on Ben Roethlisberger, but even if you were relying on some of the supporting pieces there in Pittsburgh. Back to the program here. What other things that we think we know after a couple of weeks? And Graham, you sort of talked about this. You and I talked about this yesterday during the day. Larry Fitzgerald looks like he was severely undervalued in fantasy.
Yep.
You know, this was a mistake on my part. I mean, he was an 8th, 9th, 10th round pick all summer, and we knew the Cardinals were going to, one, throw a ton and always be in 4 wide receiver sets, and that means Larry Fitzgerald was going to probably be a big part of this passing offense. And for whatever reason, he just kind of slipped through the cracks there in that 8th through 10th round 10th round range, and now he's looking like another year where Larry Fitz is just a stud, you know, receiver 3 in PPR, and you kind of plug and play him every week, and he's a great, not only a great depth, not only is he a good depth receiver to have on your roster, but he's a weekly flex play.
And by the way, I had mentioned that Zach Taylor has two wide receivers ranked in the top 10 in targets at the position.
Christian Kirk and Larry Fitz, and
Larry Fitzgerald. They're both in the top 10 as well.
Yep.
Kingsbury's he is what we thought he was, and Zach Taylor is proving to be sort of the same.
Man, I'm waiting for the week that the Cardinals put it together for four quarters, right? Because so far, the first 2 weeks, the first half has not been great.
Right. Yep.
And in the fourth quarter, you know, they turn it on. I tweeted yesterday that, you know, Cardinals offense in the fourth quarter is like, you know, last 2 minutes of an NBA game. Like, they just turn it on, and it goes sort of next level there. Other thing that we think we know, Derrick Henry is an RB1. He's had two really good games, and I know that, you know, the knock on him is that he tends to score in bunches, but man, he's looked a little bit more consistent the first couple weeks of the season. They are sort of throwing the ball to him. I mean, he's not. Look, you're not.
I like
you're
what not, I said. They're sort of throwing the ball.
You're not going to confuse him with, you know, Alvin Kamara or Saquon Barkley or anything like that. But it seems like they're trying to work him into the passing game this year, which is a positive sign.
Yeah, five targets through two games. Last year, only saw 18 targets across the whole season. Mm-hmm. The Titans have been in two good game scripts for Derrick Henry, though. They obviously were competing against the Browns and won that game. Then this Colts game was close all the way throughout, so they've been able to stick to their game plan and keep hammering, you know, Henry the ball. But I mean, it's obvious that Deion Lewis's role as a rusher in this offense is completely over.
He's got six carries.
Yeah,
it's
over.
Yeah,
it's going to be all Derrick Henry on first and second down, and all Derrick Henry in the red zone for the rest of the year.
Henry and Lewis have the same amount of targets so far this season.
Nice.
That's the thing, because like I just already sort of looked at Deion Lewis as a pass catching back, but now if Henry is starting to take some of that role,
Lewis is a handcuff, and if not, he's waiver wire fodder.
Yeah. So that is going to be one worth watching. So now we move on to the things that we don't know and we're still trying to figure out 2 weeks into the season. The first one is easily the biggest one, at least as far as I'm concerned. Is Cam Newton fixable? The first 2 weeks have looked just miserable, right?
Bro.
And we tried to kind of talk our way around week one, thinking, all right, well, let's just wait and see. Maybe things. Week two, still bad. And the thing to me, Fabs, that really is shocking. It's not so much the lack of designed runs. It's the lack of improvised runs, too. When things break down, we're used to seeing Cam get out of the pocket, make plays, and kind of extend. He is a statue in the pocket,
dude,
and that, to me, is concerning.
He doesn't run anymore. He doesn't run. No, number one, he has no touchdowns in his last four games dating back to last season. None. Zero, okay? And he's never been the most accurate dude in the world, but if you watch the game last week, there were some throws, man. Ooh. I mean, Curtis Samuel could have had a huge game if Cam didn't overthrow him. Greg Olsen could have had a bigger game if Cam didn't overthrow him. Cam Newton is sort of a shell of what he has been as a fantasy quarterback, and if he doesn't run with the football, he's useless to us. I mean, to be quite honest with you, you look back at his success in his career, if you take away the rushing totals, okay, and you put what he's been averaging in his last four games, he's not a QB1 at all. I mean, he's not a QB1. And it's tempting. You know, we talked about it before the podcast. You got the Cardinals coming up this week, right? I mean, their defense is garbage. But I don't know if I can trust Cam Newton.
I will be completely out on Cam Newton this season if he does not have a good game. I'm not looking for a blow-up game, but a good game against the Cardinals. The Cardinals are playing faster than anybody else in the NFL, which means their opposing teams are going to get more play volume, and their secondary sucks. But yeah, man, you hit the nail on the head, though, Marcus. It's the problem is not only the design plays, like he's not running, you know, the fourth and one sneaks near the goal line anymore, but 50 dropbacks last week against the Bucs, and basically no scrambling. I mean, he's not even looking to scramble.
And think about it, too.
That's not Cam Newton's game, man.
That
like if Cam Newton is dropping back 50 times to throw and not scrambling.
Bro, that little gadget play that they ran at the end with McCaffrey trying to get that first down and or touchdown.
One of the worst play calls of the season so far.
If Cam Newton is right, okay, that is Cam Newton jumping over the damn offensive line and scoring a touchdown, okay? And it's there's Now, I wonder, because North Turner is the OC. Last year, Cam was banged up, only had 101 rushing attempts in 14 games. You know, Norv's never had a dude who's this versatile, who can run with the football. You know, if you look at his career, you know, he's looking at, like, the Troy Aikmans and, you know, the Phillip Rivers, you know, guys who are sort of, like, immobile. But, I mean, Cam, if Cam's not a runner, Cam's not a valuable fantasy asset.
I mean, right now, so I ran the LA Marathon once upon a time, and, like, I didn't know what I was doing when I trained. I just was like, I'm going to just get up and just run, like, with no real, like, plan. I was so super sore afterwards, obviously, because I didn't do it right. There was a period of 6 months where I wouldn't run across the street if traffic was coming. That's sort of what Cam looks like in the pocket right now, right? There are, like, bodies flying at him, and he is standing there like a statue.
I was going to ask you, how bad did your legs hurt?
Oh, it was the
that?
Worst.
Yeah.
It was. I've done it a couple times since then when I actually trained properly and everything was a lot better. But, yeah, just me, just on my own, being an idiot, just like oh, just run. It's so fine. Like, no.
So, quick question for you guys. Cam against the Cardinals or Jameis against Eddie's Giants? And I'm going to say it on the show today. Like, I'm thinking about freaking starting Jameis Winston this week because the Giants are awful. No, I love you, Eddie, but they stink.
No, I would play Jameis over Cam right now, too.
I would, too.
It's insane. It's so insane.
The Giants have – I mean, Janoris Jenkins said it perfectly after that game yesterday. The Giants cannot rush the quarterback. Like, they do not have a pass rush right now. Their secondary is fine. It's okay. It's not terrible. But, yeah, Jameis and the Bucs should go off in that game.
Yeah.
Hey, Fabs.
I mean, look.
Godwin.
I know he does. But he was, I mean, last week he had, like, 14 points. The week before he was 7. He was terrible.
Yeah.
And the Giant, I mean, we all love Josh Allen this past weekend. He just went, he went ballistic. He balled out 22 over 22 fantasy points. So, I mean, it's like, you know, you don't trust him, but the matchup is so good. How do you not play
him? Well, and even as bad as Jameis was for most of that game against Carolina, he figured it out late.
Yep.
And he moved the ball, and he made some plays late. So at least that is sort of encouraging.
He is a schizophrenic fantasy quarterback. You never know what you're going to get from him.
That absolutely is absolutely the case there. Other thing that we don't know, what is the Niners running back rotation, right? I mean, Matt Breida looked great when he got the ball yesterday, over 100 yards. But Raheem Mostert played the most snaps out of anybody in the backfield. Jeff Wilson came in and scored a touchdown. It's like Shanahanigans are back with a new generation.
I know.
You know, like the millennials are keeping some things going, right? Kyle Shanahan keeping Shanahanigans going. And now, you know, look, I've already put in a couple of waiver claims for Raheem Mostert across leagues. I mean, he's going to be a very popular ad, I would think, this season.
Yep. Yeah, and I've got the numbers, too. Mostert had 16 touches. Breida only had 13. Wilson had 10. Wilson had 5 red zone touches. Mostert, 2. Breida, 0.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the snaps played, Mostert at 44%, Breida at 31%, and Jeff Wilson, who wasn't on the roster.
Yeah.
22%.
This is not anything new. Shanahan rotates his running backs. He does not care what point of the game they're in. He does not care if they're in the red zone. He doesn't care if it's third down, second down. He does not care. They did this in Atlanta, too. It just so happened they only had 2 guys, and they were really good players, Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Now he's got Matt Breida, who's really good, but these other 2 rotational guys, he just doesn't even care. He does not care. He's going to play. He's going to play his guys and optimize his running back usage to keep these guys fresh.
Niners got Pittsburgh coming up this week, so, and Pittsburgh gave it up to
Penny. They weren't great against the Seahawks yesterday, so.
So, I mean, you're looking at that backfield, and you spoke of Atlanta. What the heck do you do with that backfield right now? I mean, Freeman has
been 2 weeks in a row.
An absolute disaster. He's been on the field for 56% of the snaps, but Edo Smith's been out there for 44%. He's getting looks, too. So, I don't know. I mean, I think we can all agree that we were saying, hey, Freeman is an RB2. Yeah, I'll take him. So far, he has been awful.
Yeah, through 2 weeks, it has not been good. I mean, the Falcons offense has left some things to be desired through the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. They have not been able. They started the season with the Vikings front 7, so sure, on the road, tough game. Eagles front 7 is very, very good. The Eagles run defense was amazing last year. So 2 tough spots to start the year. I'm not freaking out just yet, but Ito Smith playing a little bit more than I think we expected. I think that's the concern long term.
Definitely, that is definitely a concern there. Speaking of running backs, other thing we don't know, did we overvalue Kerryon Johnson. I'm speaking from a place of hurt right now because I drafted him in so many places and was like really excited. I was like, I got Kerryon Johnson in the third round. It's gonna be great. And he's been fine. It just the workload has not been what I thought it was going to be. I think a lot of us went into this season expecting him to kind of be more of a workhorse and for the Lions to be more pass heavy. And he's just been okay through the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's been held under 3 yards per carry in back-to-back games now. Had 18 touches week one, 14 this past week against the Chargers. A tough spot coming up, too, against the Eagles in week three. Did we ever expect Kerryon Johnson to be the a bell cow, though? Like he plays 85% of the snaps and never comes off the field? If that was the expectation, I think that might have been a little too high.
Maybe. I just felt like they were really going to try and ride him a little bit more. He's playing about 55% of the snaps.
Yeah.
Through 2 weeks, he's averaging 16 touches a game.
I mean, CJ Anderson had 11 carries in week one, and that was reduced back down to 5 this past week. In a game the Lions won, by the way.
Right.
Ty Johnson got more burn this week, too, so... that you're picking up Ty Johnson, but Ty Johnson could be the handcuff to KJ. Should anything happen to him now?
Yeah, that's possible, too. I guess that's something just to kind of keep in mind and see how this thing goes. So there we go. That's through 2 weeks. We'll also keep an eye, obviously, on what happens on Monday night. And, we'll make some snap judgments that will be totally wrong by week 7. But that's fine. Don't worry about it. So there you go.
It's kind of a depressing day, isn't it? I mean, Breeze is out. Ben Roethlisberger's, done for the season. Dudes that we drafted highly are not producing. Poor Eddie's a Giants fan. It's just sad around here today, man. It's a bummer of a day.
It is a gloomy, gloomy week two, no doubt about it. So on the up and up, though, there's the waiver wire. Hopefully that can boost our spirits a little bit. We put together a list of guys that should be available in a majority of leagues that have some potential in the weeks going forward. Let's see, just in no particular order here. A couple of Chiefs, DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, who was a waiver wire guy last week. And so, hear us now, believe us later. Go get Mecole Hardman, because obviously with Tyreek Hill out, his role increases there in Kansas City. Fabs, you mentioned it before the show, and it is absolutely true. Terry McLaurin.
Bro.
We didn't talk about him a lot.
I tried to pick him up in every league I could last week. I mean,
I got him in so many spots after last week.
He looks good. I almost don't want Haskins to take the job because Case Keenum's looking for him a lot. Guys,
Terry McLaurin's going to be the top scoring rookie receiver this year.
He's on his way.
He's going to be.
Well, it's going to be him and Hollywood.
Hollywood had another big game.
Long term, I'm telling you, McLaurin has more opportunity. The Redskins are going to be trailing more, and the Ravens have Mark Andrews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fair.
So a few other receivers to target: Deebo Samuel. Hell, at this point, Dante Pettis is droppable.
Dante Pettis did not play. He played more than 2 snaps this week.
He played 33 snaps and got 0 targets.
He is droppable at this point. We talked about DJ Chark. Okay, I'm not going to do it again. Chris Connolly. Dede Westbrook,
Chris Connolly,
who we all loved, but when Foles went down, our worst fears have been met.
I really thought that maybe with a week of practice that Gardner Minshew would kind of look in Westbrook's direction a little bit more, but at least this past week that wasn't the case. Maybe it happened
later.
As has been
the theme of this podcast, that Texans-Jags game was freaking weird, too. I mean, neither of those teams really did much of anything offensively.
Fournette hasn't gotten anything done, too, in 2 weeks.
Well, Fournette is not left the field, so I'm not concerned.
No,
about that.
That's good, but when he's getting the ball, I mean, and then they tried to win the game yesterday.
The men's show was Jacksonville's leading rusher when it was all said and done.
Yeah. We talked about Mecole Hardman as a waiver wire pickup. Here's one that you may not think of off the top of your head, but he's absolutely worth rostering. The Jason Voorhees of fantasy football.
He
will never die. Frank Gore. Devin Singletary left the game yesterday with a hamstring injury. Not sure if he's going to miss any games. Maybe he'll miss one or two in a worst-case scenario, but Frank freaking Gore is going to be a flex starter on fantasy rosters in week 3 if Singletary can't play. It is amazing. He just will not go away.
Yeah, no, he will, like I said, he will live forever. He absolutely will live forever. See, we mentioned Raheem Mostert, Deebo Samuel. Those are guys. Teddy Bridgewater,
Obviously, with Drew Brees out, I mean, that's kind of a deep pull right now if you really need some quarterback help. Mason Rudolph, obviously, we mentioned him now that Ben Roethlisberger is done for the year, another guy who you may want to kind of target if you really need some help at quarterback. But, yeah, that's it for waiver wire. I don't know, any more guys.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy B is there. Teddy Two Gloves.
I mean, listen, fantasy football, and we've said it, is so unpredictable. Hell, Gardner Minshew, if you're in a 2QB league or a Superflex league, dude, him and Bridgewater both.
Minshew was not terrible.
He wasn't terrible. If he's going to run the ball,
yeah,
hell, he's worth a look, man.
Yeah. Two more speculative ads is Jalen Samuels and Darwin Thompson.
Absolutely, yeah.
Jalen, obviously, with James Conner, and then both McCoy and Damian Williams are both dealing with injuries.
Yep.
Williams left the fourth quarter with a knee injury last night, and then McCoy is, I guess, dealing with an ankle that popped up today, this Monday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
so
by
we'll
the way,
see on the Chiefs backfield.
And by the way, folks, if Josh Allen's available in your league, please pick him
go
up.
Go get him.
Please pick him
absolutely,
up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go get him.
Because I'm seeing him available in leagues, and I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah. I think the skepticism is still there. It should be over by
he
now.
He was the best quarterback in fantasy football for the last 5 weeks of his rookie year, and so far so good in 2019.
They're running sweeps for him at the goal line. I think that should tell you everything you need to know. So there you go. That is it. We are done. We appreciate you listening and downloading as always. And you know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, if we weren't meant to have midnight snacks, why is there a light in the fridge? We'll see you on Wednesday.